We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 3, titled The Lord's Pastimes Out of Vrindavan, text number 23. Daivadhineshu kameshu,
Daivadhineshu kameshu,
Daivadhina swayam puman,
Daivadhina swayam puman,
Ko vishram bheda yogena,
Ko vishram bheda yogena,
Yogesharam anuvrataha.
Yogesharam anuvrataha.
Daiva.
Daiva.
Supernatural.
Supernatural.
Adhineshu.
Adhineshu.
Being controlled.
Being
Kameshu.
Kameshu.
In sense enjoyment.
Daiva adhinaha.
Controlled by supernatural force.
Controlled by supernatural.
Swayam.
Swayam.
Himself.
Himself.
Puman.
Puman.
Living entity.
Kaha,
whoever,
Vishrambheta,
can have faith in,
Yogena,
by devotional service,
Yogeshwaram,
the Supreme Lord,
Anuvrataha,
serving. Translation: every living entity is controlled by a supernatural force, and thus, his sense enjoyment is also under the control of that supernatural force. No one, therefore, can put his faith in Lord Krishna's transcendental sense activities but one who has become a devotee of the Lord by rendering devotional service. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, no one can understand the transcendental birth and activities of the Lord. The same fact is herein corroborated. No one but one who is enlightened by the devotional service of the Lord can understand the difference between the Lord's activities and those of others who are controlled by the supernatural force. The sense enjoyment of all animals, men and demigods within the purview of material universe is controlled by the supernatural force called the Prakriti or Daivi Maya. No one is independent in obtaining sense enjoyment, and everyone in this material world is after sense enjoyment. Persons who are themselves under the control of supernatural power cannot believe that Lord Krishna is not under any control beyond himself in the matter of sense enjoyment. They cannot understand that his senses are transcendental. In the Brahma Samhita, the Lord's senses are described as omnipotent, that is, with any sense he can perform the activities of the other senses. One who has limited senses cannot believe that the Lord can eat by his transcendental power of hearing and can perform the act of sex by sex life simply by seeing. The controlled living entity cannot even dream of such sense activities in his conditional life. But simply by the activities of Bhakti Yoga, he can understand that the Lord and his activities are always transcendental. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktiyamam abhijanati yavanyaschami tattvatah, one cannot know even a fraction of the activities of the Lord if he is not a pure devotee of the Lord. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापद्मलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛకల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధూభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే భూతే మహాధర్య ఇమా పురో విభూ నిర్మాయ శేతే యదమూష పురుష భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మక సోలంకృషీష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే. హరే కృష్ణ. Here's a beautiful description of the Lord's pastimes outside of Vrindavan as narrated by Uddhava. Here there are two sentences which look quite different in this translation, but they are well connected and explains why a person who doesn't have faith in the Lord by performing bhakti yoga cannot understand the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. So here it is mentioned in the first sentence itself that every living entity is controlled by a supernatural force, and thus his sense enjoyment is also under the control of supernatural force. It is quite humiliating to understand that we cannot enjoy independent of the Supreme Lord, and the quota of our enjoyment is limited and it is capped. People think that we can enjoy unlimitedly, or I can at least get what I want, at least to some degree. So people make so many different kinds of plans. Okay, I have this kind of vacation. I'm going to Bali. I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going to India. I'm going to China. Especially when we speak to the uni students, we always have this experience. Everyone has some plans. I just came from Bali and they want to speak about Bali. I just came from such and such place. So, especially if there are some international students, they are coming to university, study abroad, they very clearly say, okay, studies, it is there, but one of the main plan is that we want to enjoy after coming here. We want to visit different places. So they have their set course of travel plans, you know, going to Tassie, going to New Zealand, going to Bali, you know, the whole plan is there. So it is already well set, and they think that, okay, we can enjoy and we can derive happiness by traveling. So traveling is such a big thing in this world. But the reality is that we are traveling life after life in so many species of lives. So traveling is not something which is new. That is just going on life after life. And the whole idea is to stop this traveling and to get something which is substantial. So this is the whole idea of spiritual life. However, people are trying to enjoy in so many different ways. Now, when we talk about this cap, that there is a cap for this enjoyment, that is quite scary. If you tell anyone, okay, you try this way or that way, the total amount of enjoyment, the total amount of material happiness that one can derive in one lifetime, it is already determined. So we can call it, okay, karma. It is already determined. So if you give this understanding, it is shocking. Actually, for a devotee, that makes a devotee quite peaceful. So we don't need to really worry about, okay, am I going to enjoy materially in this way or that way? Whatever is best for devotional service, that one can choose. Then whatever is suffering or happiness that is meant to come, it will come anyway. So a devotee can be peaceful in that way. So Narada Muni says in the 5th chapter of first canto, the same point, that the material happiness will come as naturally as the miseries would come. So we don't need to really make any plans for sense enjoyment. Whatever is meant to come, it is going to come. However, the material civilization is such that we need a lot of plans to avoid suffering and to accept happiness. So this is the whole idea of material enjoyment and suffering. So here it's mentioned, the Prakriti is already arranging different happiness and suffering. And primarily it is based on the different bodies that we attain. We are limited by our body. We cannot enjoy a certain kind of happiness with a given body. So that is the ultimate control. So one main control is the body that is being awarded. That limits the happiness or suffering that one can get. And then the variety of happiness and suffering. There is quite a difference. A hog can eat stool, and we can't. In different species, they can indulge in sex enjoyment for, you know, so many times a day. Humans can't. So there is a difference in the body, and then there is a difference in the material happiness and suffering. Now, in the first line, why this point is presented, that we are being controlled by the supernatural forces? Because when one is completely under the clutches of the material nature by the Maya Shakti, then it is very difficult to understand the enjoyment of the Supreme Lord. And if we see the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, if we see the different qualities of the Supreme Lord, that looks completely bewildering for a conditioned being. Because he is conditioned. By the very nature that he is conditioned, and by the very nature that his happiness and even suffering is limited and being controlled, and if you look upon someone who is not bound by any of these things, then naturally the doubt arises in the mind. How is it possible for the Lord to have such opulence? How is he able to enjoy so many different kinds of pastimes? So there the point of faith comes. So, as a matter of fact, Krishna is the most misunderstood person, and Bhagavad Gita is the most misunderstood book, or in other words, his instructions are mostly misunderstood. If you think about ourselves, if someone, you know, misunderstands us, we feel very bad. You know, I tried to communicate properly, but he didn't get it right. So think about Krishna's position in that way. Krishna is presenting everything in Bhagavad Gita, and all his pastimes are meant to attract the conditioned beings. As Brahma Samhita says, Leelayatena Bhuvanani Jagati Ajasram. He wants to predominate the material world by his pastimes so that the minds of the conditioned souls are attracted towards him. So this is the whole idea of Krishna's appearance in this material world, to attract the conditioned beings. But he is the most misunderstood person. For example, if you hear in this pastime, the Dwaraka pastimes are described here. Krishna has 16,108 wives. And people often question, how is it possible for Krishna to have 16,108 wives? It is just mythology. What was Srila Prabhupada's answer to this question? Prabhupada said, this question is quite foolish. It's a foolish question to ask, that why the Lord has 16,108 wives. Rather, the intelligent question is, why Krishna only has 16,108 wives? So that is an intelligent question. Because the Lord is unlimited. He can have unlimited wives. So he is limiting himself to just 16,108. So that is actually an intelligent question. So Prabhupada actually opened up the transcendental reality by presenting the right logic, the right perception. Similarly, people ask, why Krishna is so lusty? He is dancing with so many gopis, you know, maybe billions of gopis. He's so lusty. He is dancing with others' wives. If you ever preach, definitely you will hear this question. why Krishna is dancing with others' wives in the middle of the night? How is it possible? Is he actually setting morality in this way? Dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Dharma samsthapanarthaya, right? To establish the religiosity. Is he setting religiosity by dancing with others' wives? Is it possible? So again, we have to come to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, who makes it very clear. What does Srila Prabhupada say? Krishna is actually dancing with his own internal potency. The gopis are his own products. They are coming from him. They are his parts. And he is enjoying with his own parts. So now the question again remains, okay, now there is a husband and a wife. They are dancing together or trying to enjoy together. So actually, the husband is trying to enjoy Krishna's property. So as you know, if somebody is telling, you know, who is actually rascal? Somebody is trying to enjoy Krishna's property. It's not that, you know, it's not your property. It's Krishna's property. Have you created anyone? No, you can't create as such. Can we create life as such? Not really. Even though, you know, it looks like we are creating life, but we are not actually creating life. It's already there. Sriya Pravishta Udaram Pumso Retakanashreha, 5th canto Bhagavatam says, the living entity takes shelter of the semen of the father and is being injected into the womb of the mother. It's not very clearly ashraya, taking shelter of. The living entity is taking shelter of the body of the mother, not that a father or mother can create a child. It's not possible. So this is the reality. So who everything belongs to, who is the enjoyer, that is Krishna. So only a controller can be the enjoyer. So here it is mentioned that the supernatural forces are controlling the living entity's sense gratification and his life, everything. If that is being the case, Krishna is the controller, and a controller can enjoy. If he is not the controller, he cannot enjoy. Try to think about going to someone else's house and try to enjoy the property. What happens? It's not your property. How can you enjoy? They will call the police or kick you out with force. So if you are the controller, yes, you can enjoy. So yes, people doubt about Krishna, his enjoyment, because it is very difficult to understand, because there is no faith, as it is mentioned in this purport. Recently, my dad's friend, he asked my dad a question for me, okay? So he knows that I am Hare Krishna, I am living in the temple. So he asked my dad. He's a well-read person. He has read Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, and many other books. So he said, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna arrives in Mathura and he meets the washerman and he asks for some clothes. He says, okay, oh washerman, give me some clothes for myself, my brother Balaram, and you know, all these cowherd boys. You can just give me some nice clothes. So this washerman impudently replied, called them fools. You think you can enjoy the property of King Kamsa? If you think so, you will be punished and get lost from here. So hearing these words, Krishna became angry. What he did? It's mentioned, just with the tip of his finger, he separated his head from his body. The tip of his fingers, that's it. Krishna separated the head from his body. And for him, this speaking about my dad's friend, it looked very cruel. And just for not giving some clothes, Krishna has killed a washerman. By not giving some clothes. How can you explain this? So this was his question. And you know, I was speaking to my dad and he asked, you know, so can you give some explanation to this? So of course, what happens? Okay, this is our explanation. It's again, explanation, if you think about it, is quite far out. What's our explanation if Krishna kills someone? What's our explanation? It's liberating someone. I mean, that's our natural. Okay, if Krishna kills someone, or pats someone, or hugs someone, or dances with someone, everything is on the transcendental platform. But one who doesn't have faith, think about this. If he hears this answer, can he believe this? No, it's just, you know, straight away rejects. That's the thing, as mentioned in the first line of this translation, he's being completely controlled by the supernatural forces. So he knows his enjoyment and suffering, which is bound by material nature. So no one else can do anything else. So this is the position. So Krishna's activities are mysterious. And so the same with his teachings also. Think about Srila Prabhupada. In the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says, there were how many copies of Bhagavad Gita present? The time Srila Prabhupada wrote this Bhagavad Gita? Around 500 copies, right? What does that mean? 500, so this is a book about one personality's teaching, right? Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's teachings. So there were, or at that point of time, that is in 60s, there were 500 copies of Bhagavad Gita which are not really giving the message of Bhagavad Gita. Can we understand the point? That is, Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita, he has very clearly given his message, and that has been misconstrued and written 500 books on that. How about that? So for us it doesn't happen, right? We say something, people get misunderstand, but we cannot see that, you know, 500 books are written about the misunderstanding about our sayings. It never happens. But for Krishna, he's a supreme lord, so 500 books in 60s. Now think about how many books. So many books. So many Bhagavad Gitas. And so many books, and so many internet is filled with many teachings of Krishna, the so-called teachings of Krishna. When I was in India, there was this message. It was widely published and widely printed. Just an, not even A4 sheet, probably A5, you know, half of that size. It is called, I think, Gita Sar, or, you know, Message of Gita. And it was, you know, widely published. If you go to any home, there will be Message of Gita. Gita Sar or Gita Sandesh, whatever it is written. And the message was quite interesting. The message was something like this. I will just try to paraphrase. Whatever has happened is for good. Okay? Whatever is happening is also for good. And whatever will happen is also for good. So don't worry. And my sister, she was studying somewhere quite a few years back. And she was in a hostel. And she said she had this message on her wall. And she said, whenever I had some problem, I used to look at this, you know, this message, and I used to feel so much comfort. Because whatever has happened, it's all for good. Whatever is happening, that is also for good. And whatever in future, what will happen, that is also for good. So, no need to worry. Be happy. So, this is not the message of Bhagavad Gita. Not at all. So, where is Krishna in this? Don't worry, that is surrender unto me, then don't worry. There is no surrender at all. There is no Krishna at all. So actually, the point is, the real message is, if you are not surrendered, then start worrying. Start worrying. Things are not going to go properly. It is going to be a problem for sure. Krishna is assuring, Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. Krishna is not telling, okay, this is going to be a good deal here in the material world. Krishna is telling, this is going to be a tough time here. Trying to enjoy the material world. So, we need to develop a bit of faith. And when we have a little bit of faith, then we can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. Unless and until we cannot understand. It's a very important point. Logically, we cannot understand Krishna's activities. It's not possible. We can try to explain in so many different ways, but unless and until one doesn't have the faith, he cannot really understand the Lord's activities. Cannot really develop appreciation for Krishna's activities. It is impossible. Here, Srila Prabhupada quotes Brahma Samhita, presenting the nature of the Lord's senses. The Lord's senses, it is inconceivable how they work. It's completely inconceivable. He can impregnate just by looking. We know how the material creation takes place. The Lord just glances upon Pradhan, to the material nature. And from there, the whole creation is taking place. And it is mentioned, in that glance, the Lord is giving the energy. And that energizing the pradhan, it is going on. So it is a continuous process, and through that the creation is taking place. And it takes a long time. You know, the transformation from pradhan to mahatattva to through going through different stages, it takes time. And all this time the Lord is actually imparting the energy through his vision. How can we understand? Unless we have faith in the Lord. One time I was hearing the story of Radha Govind Maharaj. It was interesting. In Dubai. He was in Dubai and he was sitting in one of the, you know, waiting rooms. And he was very intensely chanting. So he was just chanting Hare Krishna. So he was quite absorbed and chanting. And then he came out and he was sitting in one of the desks, on one of the benches. And one of the airport authority, he came and approached Radha Govind Maharaj. And he was a Muslim. This is Dubai, so the officials were Muslims. And he said, I saw you chanting, I saw you praying. But according to our tradition, God doesn't have any form, he doesn't have any senses. And, you know, he presented the impersonal conception of the Supreme Absolute. So Maharaj said, well, okay, it's fine, good to hear that. But in our understanding, let me ask you a question. Do you pray? So he said, yes, 5 times I pray. And when they were speaking, immediately, you know, the siren went off. So all of them actually kneeled down and started praying. You know, they did their namaz, the whole airport. So while Maharaj was speaking, so he was quite devotional. He was just paying whatever, you know, obeisances in whatever way and praying to the Lord. So after his prayer, he came back and Maharaj started speaking to him. Maharaj said, okay, when you pray to Allah, when you pray to God, can he hear your prayers? So this officer, yes, definitely. You know, if I pray, definitely he can hear that. So does that mean that he doesn't have any ears, or has he got any ears? So this actually opened up this Muslim officer's mind. He said, yeah, it means, yeah, it makes sense. That if he pray, he's able to hear. You know, is he seeing everything, what's going on in this world? Yeah, he's able to see what's going on in this world. So it means he can see. It means he has some sort of eyes. Otherwise, is it possible to see everything that is going on in this world? Our eyes are pretty limited, but he can see everything. So in that way, he was giving some examples. So this person was moved quite a bit. And he started thinking, it makes a lot of sense. And Maharaj asked, what's the time now? Because he said, I had to catch the next flight and I had to go. So he looked at his watch and he asked Maharaj, oh, you don't have a watch? So Maharaj said, no, I don't have a watch. So he said, just wait a minute. And he went inside and he went to a shop and he purchased a very expensive watch and gifted to Maharaj. And he said, you know, thank you very much, you know, for the sharing some knowledge. So this is very practical. And Maharaj says that in that lecture, he says, I didn't explain the inconceivable nature of the Lord's senses. That is, you know, with his eyes, he can eat. You know, he didn't. He said, this is Brahma Samhita, Angani Asya Sakalendriya Vritti Mandi Pashyanti Panti Kalayanti Chiram Jagandi. See, I said, you know, I didn't went to that deeper aspect of the philosophy, but at least I made him think. So it is a very important point that, you know, it is possible that even this inconceivable knowledge to some degree can be imparted to people who have some faith. So as they develop faith in Krishna, they can understand more and more. And we don't really get into the most intimate aspect of the Supreme Lord, and we don't discuss those kind of things because we haven't developed that kind of purity at this stage. It is mentioned in the 10th canto, in the 31st chapter, at the end, I think it's the last verse, after describing Rasleela, Vikriditam Vrajabhubhiritam Javishno, that verse, that one who actually hears these intimate pastimes of the Lord, including Rasleela, if one actually hears and one is qualified, then he will lose all attachment for material pleasure. He has no desire for sense gratification at all. So that is the result of hearing Krishna's intimate pastimes. However, one has to be qualified to hear that. That's where the problem comes. There are some prescriptions, says there are some medicines in which you need a certain kind of health to take that medicine. If you don't have that health, then that medicine will act as poison. It will not work in the way it is intended to. Rather, it acts as poison. In the same way, Krishna's very intimate pastimes, they are actually high grade medicines. But one has to be qualified to take that medicine. So that's where the verse is coming in, the last verse in the 31st chapter, that one has to be qualified. Shraddhanyuta, again the word Shraddha is mentioned. Shraddhanyuto. That is, one need to have that much faith in the Lord that one doesn't anyway misunderstand that it is material. And one's mind doesn't linger upon material sense gratification after hearing Krishna's intimate pastimes. So since we are not qualified to that degree, then we stick to other aspects. We don't actually dwell into them. Rather, we just read through. But we don't meditate upon. So for devotees, it is very important that we understand the pastimes of Krishna. It is very important that we dwell into the philosophical aspect of Krishna consciousness. Why? Because we have a strong tendency to enjoy matter in a very natural way, in a spontaneous way. We are actually enjoying matter in a raganuga way. We are actually raganuga bhaktas of matter. It's very natural. Think about ourselves, really, in the conditioned state. Okay, when the intelligence is working, assume our intelligence is working. Then, if the thoughts are going to the, you know, to the other side, you know, it is crossing the boundary and is going to the other side, the sense gratificatory side, then we can bring the intelligence back. Correct? But if we leave loose our intelligence, what happens? Suppose, you know, very tired, intelligence is not functioning. Where the mind goes? Mind has a natural tendency to go to its natural conditioned state, which is the state of sense gratificatory thoughts. It can just slide in very naturally. So we have that spontaneity towards this sense gratification because of conditioning. So now our aim here is to develop attraction for Krishna. So philosophy, how philosophy helps? Philosophy helps because philosophy cuts that. Because the mind is actually, you know, moving towards sense gratificatory thoughts, then the philosophy can cut. So the material rasa can be cut by the tattva of Krishna consciousness. It is very important. So that's where the philosophy comes into picture. Then, when one is more and more fixed, in other words, when the mind is controlled, then one can think more on pastimes of Krishna and activities of Krishna. So this is our real test. You know, we don't need to ask 100 people, you know, how much we are advanced. It is just look into ourselves. Are we able to think about Krishna's pastimes or anything related to Krishna, or the mind is always pushing towards sense gratification? It becomes very clear to ourselves. So this is where sadhana bhakti is so important, because sadhana bhakti is like, you know, training wheels in a bicycle. You know, bicycle, if you have seen a bicycle, you know, kids, when they try to ride bicycle, there are training wheels. You know, it's just, okay, it won't allow you to fall down. So sadhana bhakti's rules and regulations are like these training wheels. Okay, we don't feel like chanting, but okay, you must chant 16 rounds. Okay, then okay, I will chant 16 rounds. I don't feel like getting up in the morning, but you have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning at least. Then we get up. So it is helping. So the rules and regulations, in other words, the vaidhi, the vidhi, the regulations are pushing us towards Krishna consciousness. So somehow or other, okay, these are the rules we must follow. Okay, so I will do it. And with that, the benefit is that one tend to develop a spontaneous attraction, little by little. It's not an overnight thing. One develops a little bit of attraction. Srila Prabhupada gives this example in Nectar of Devotion, that after start getting up and, you know, doing Mangalarati and, you know, worshipping the Lord, one feels a little bit, okay, it's so nice to see the Supreme Lord in the morning. Krishna is looking so beautiful in the morning. Let me see the Lord. Let me start worshipping the Lord. Let me do Mangalarati for the Lord. One tend to develop some kind of attraction for the Lord. So this is what we are looking for. So if you don't have that, no problem. Push ourselves through rules. But if we continue that pushing, then we can see that we develop that taste. Little by little. But we can see, okay, we are moving in the right direction. So this is very important. So Krishna consciousness is not, you know, it's not just rules and, you know, just force. We won't continue actually only, if it's only force, we won't be able to continue for a very long time. There will be force because the mind is uncontrolled. There will be some force. The pushings of the laws of nature, of the devotional laws, are definitely necessary. But along with that, we can feel some rasa, some taste is there. That actually helps us to keep going. So with that, I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yeah, if you are talking about happiness, which that everyone wants, material happiness, one may have some choice. Okay, one may have a choice to go to Bali or Hawaii or to China. Okay, but the amount of happiness one is getting out of that activity remains the same. In fact, it's mentioned in the fourth canto in Prathama Raj. It's mentioned Prathama Raj being a devotee, he enjoyed the happiness, the so-called material happiness that came along. In that way, he burnt that. So it doesn't mean that he was enjoying in a non-Vedic demoniac way, but he enjoyed whatever material facility he had. He was an emperor, he was a king. So he enjoyed and he burnt those karma in that way, he mentions. And at the same time, the suffering which are meant to come, he performed voluntary austerities according to Vedic scriptures. In that way, he avoided the suffering. So even he accepted the suffering involuntarily, in other words. It's not that he actually, no more suffering. So giving a practical example that through austerity, he went through difficulties. He accepted. So there were sufferings and there were happiness. But in both cases, he was Krishna conscious and he was following Vedas. So in simple terms, the happiness, it may look like there are choices. Okay, there are some choices. But the amount of happiness or suffering is fixed. As the body is, as we get the body, the amount of happiness and suffering for this particular body is defined. So, it's not too much we can do about it. So, our solution is, we come to the transcendental platform. So, bodily suffering or enjoyment, it will continue. But one can derive better fulfillment within. It is possible. So, it's not really dependent on the externals. That is that clear? So there is a difference between diving deep into Krishna's intimate pastimes and giving a Krishna book. Because in Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear who is Krishna, and these pastimes are not just mundane. So Krishna philosophically clarifies these points again and again. So that's why Krishna book is encouraged. In Bhagavatam also, it is mentioned, yes, Ashwagandha Goswami is careful in that sense. Because the word Achyuta is used many times in Srimad Bhagavatam in Sanskrit to show that even though Krishna is with gopis, he never falls down from his position. He's Achyuta. So, but one actually just goes into different literature which is focused on this pastime, definitely mind gets bewildered. Because when we talk about Krishna's association with gopis, the only related thing that the mind can project is attraction between man and woman. So one is carried away by those kind of thoughts. So Prabhupada's presentation is fine. So Krishna book can be distributed, but not other things. And even we don't read, so what to speak about distributing to others, other books. Yeah. Sorry.
I was thinking how this sense enjoyment is a big illusion
Thank you. You had a question? Yeah? You can ask.
So you were talking in the beginning of the class about plan, about making plan.
Yeah.
So I can understand that according to the level of consciousness that we have or the imagination, we can have a spiritual idea of how we want to do that. How we want to set, no? Or we can have material plan. So how can fit your explanation according to, we don't need to make so many plans in our life. So how can I understand or relate to these two things?
Okay, the question is, so whether we need to make plans or not, or what's the...
Yes, because someone can have like a spiritual plan. For example, oh, I would like to serve like this, or I will move to this place or serve, or you know, or someone can have like a definitely just material inclination and material plans, you know, material perspective of life. So how can I understand that, that you say that someone doesn't have to make so many plans? Or
So planning is not forbidden in Krishna consciousness. Then we'll have trouble. Even services, if there are no plans how to do service, then there'll be problems. So definitely there are plans in life, in services, everywhere planning is there. And if you are talking about life, and you know, life means a devotee's life is oriented, centered around services. So one need to make plans. There are long-term plans and there are short-term plans, obviously. So one need to take guidance from primarily guru and sadhus. This is the, and shastra, obviously, it's under the, you know, under the guidance of shastra, everything. So basically, we need to take guidance from guru and sadhus. That's how we make plans. Especially in long-term plan, you know, we may have some ideas. So we consult our guru and discuss whether it is appropriate. Is it going to help me? People ask many questions, many times, you know. It's a big question. Shall we go to India or not? You know, or move to India, or you know, like that, you know. So need to discuss with the spiritual master and actually take the guidance. There is a difference between letting them know your plans and taking guidance. So that is the principle. The principle is getting actual guidance. So this is the situation, what is best for me? So that is actually taking. Based on that, if you make plans, okay, it is fine. We need planning, but we need to really take guidance. Not just make the plans already and, you know, then this is what I am going to do. You know, would you be able to approve my plans? Make it bona fide, stamp it nicely. So one may not get the real benefit because we are not giving the choice for one who is actually giving the guidance. So it's not really guidance. So we had to be a bit mindful about that fact also. So basically based on guidance, I would say. Because life means there are many people with senior devotees with a lot of life experience. We are, you know, as young and moving forward, we don't have that much experience. We haven't seen so much life. So we need to get some guidance from those who have life experience. And they have seen services, they have seen many things. So in a long term, I'm saying, one need planning. Then short term, small things, you know, this has to be done, that has to be done. We have to make our own plans. It's required. Some plans are required. For execution of services, we have to make some plans, obviously. Every time we cannot call up Guru or, you know, each small thing we can't. So there we just consult and, you know, we come up with a proper planning to do things. I have seen who have dedicated their life to astrologers. Life is tough. Tough. Like, each step they are confused. No, the problem is, it's, you know, first of all, the karma is so complicated. Okay, astrology gives some indication of it. And astrologer cannot tell everything, you know, clear cut. He cannot see, first of all, clear cut everything. You know, astrologers have been cursed. I don't know, who cursed? You know, anyone cursed? Okay, they cannot give the 100%. It's not possible. So it's a very complicated, first of all, it's a complicated, karma is complicated. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Gahana Karmana Gadi, 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So karma is complicated and astrology is giving a reflection, indication of the karma. So if you one tries just follow that, then we are actually, it's wrong for a devotee. The reason is then one is not seeing Krishna's hand. So it's wrong. As such, you know, we are you know, servants of astrology, or we are servants of karma. That's what we are saying. We are servants of karma, not of Krishna. So one has to be careful. Oh, at the same time, one may, you know, weigh the situation astrologically. Okay, how is it? You know, one may do here or there, but not base the life on that. Each and every decision is based on astrology. It can be dangerous. It's dangerous, that's all I can say. One can go mental, very mental. I have seen people going mental, you know. This suffering will come and, you know, just keep... there is no suffering, but just thinking about that, suffering is coming. Final question. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Granthashrama Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.